Good morning and welcome to Purpose Church. A little bit of a different start for us, but very, very significant and important. My name is Eric and I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to welcome everyone joining us in the worship center, everyone joining us online on YouTube or on our Apple or Spotify podcast. We are so glad you're here, and I just want to tell you all, I love you so much, but most importantly, God loves you. And especially if you are a visitor or a guest that was invited to Sunday Fun Day, maybe you saw something online or someone here at Purpose Church invited you, we are so glad that you are joining us today. And whether you're a first-time visitor or been coming for a little while, if you haven't connected here at Purpose Church, we want to help you take that next step. And so you received a program when you came in, and there's a QR code there with also a webpage. You can scan the QR code. You can go to our webpage. You can also head at the end of the service out to the lobby with our Connect Center, because we would love to connect with you and help you get connected here at Purpose Church. So let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And as we begin our brand new series today, as we've been alluding to, I want to say three things to every single person in this room. And I know it's going to sound intense, but it's because it's true. And we're going to come back to these three big ideas. It's sort of our mantra for these next 8 weeks of this series together. And it's this: we are at war. We are at war. It's not a fair fight. And in Christ, we can win. Whether you realize it or not, you are in a war. And it is not a fair fight. And what I mean by that is two things. Number one, your enemy is more powerful than you in your own strength. But it's also not a fair fight, because the creator of the universe, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, is more powerful than our enemy. Therefore, in Christ, we can win. We can win. Jesus, in his own words in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said these words: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Do not make the mistake of thinking the lies of the enemy, the temptation of sin, will ever satisfy you, because it will always be used to steal, kill, and destroy you. But Jesus, whether you know him or not, whether this name is common to you, you've heard about him, or this is a whole new, brand new idea, he came into the world to give you life to the full. Today, here's what we're talking about. You have an enemy: sin, the world, and Satan. And I wrestled thinking about, oh my goodness, is this really what we're gonna talk about on Sunday Fun Day? Is this that fun? But I thought to myself, with everyone here and all of our visitors and guests, that you've got to know you have an enemy: sin, the world, and Satan. Now, some of you are going, okay, Eric, I just am having a hard time believing any of this, anything that you've said so far. I mean, really believing in Satan, believing in demons, believing there's a spiritual realm and some kind of spiritual war happening? I mean, maybe you're thinking to yourself, this guy's crazy. Maybe you're going, I'm a little skeptical about this. Maybe you're open to it. Maybe you're curious about it. Or maybe you're leaning over to the person who brought you and said, yeah, I'm never coming back here again. Honey, get the kids, let's go, you know? But I just want to encourage you to take the 8-week challenge. And here's the 8-week challenge. You're already here week one. Continue to hang with us for the next 7 weeks. Keep coming back here every single Sunday, because I believe that at the end of our 8 weeks together, you are going to believe and know that we are in a war. That it is not a fair fight, but that in Christ, we can win. That our series is called The War You're In. And here's kind of our synopsis. Here's where we're going over these next 8 weeks. Whether you realize it or not, you are in a war, a battle raging in the unseen realm, shaping our thoughts, actions, and destiny. There is an enemy who is relentlessly working to destroy you, and a God who is calling you to a life of victory, peace, and purpose. Though Satan's sin and the ways of the world will ultimately fall before God's power, they are dragging down as many as they can along the way. The question is, will you be one of them? Or will you step into the strength, freedom, and triumph God has already won for you? The battle is real. The choice is yours. Are you ready to fight back? And again, some of us here may be going, Eric, I just kind of have a personal opinion. I don't believe in anything I can't see. This idea of a spiritual warfare, spiritual realm, I'm not buying it because I don't believe anything I can't see. Yes, you do. You do, and I'm gonna prove it to you four different ways. You believe, in fact, all of us believe in things we can't see. Four proofs. Proof number one, germs. Germs. Some of you will have a delicious plate of food right in front of you. And instead of jumping in and devouring it, you'll take out your little sweet, cute hand sanitizer and you'll squirt it on your hands and you'll rub it together. Why? Because you believe in the existence of germs, even though you can't see them. How about this one? Number two, Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi. You can't see Wi-Fi, but if you go to a coffee shop that doesn't have Wi-Fi, you think you're being spiritually attacked by Satan himself. How could a place not have Wi-Fi? We're so dependent on it, but we can't even see it. Or how about this? Number three, calories. Nobody looks at a salad and a beautiful piece of chocolate cake and says, oh man, I can see all the calories there. Now you can't see them, but you know they're there. Yeah. Or how about this one? Number four, gravity. Gravity. None of you, I watched y'all walk in, nobody was like holding on for dear life, you know? Like nobody was crawling in, holding on to something stationary because you were afraid that you were just gonna float into outer space. No, you believe in gravity, you believe in calories, you believe in Wi-Fi, you believe in germs. Why? Because you have experienced the effects of them. I wanna suggest to you today that you may not always be able to see sin, the world, and Satan, but the effects of them on our everyday lives are absolutely real. And here's what hangs in the balance. If you don't recognize that you have an enemy, sin, the world, and Satan, you are going to continue to spend your whole life getting sucker punched by them. Like sucker punched all the time, thrown around in the game that they're playing in the attempt to destroy your life. But it's actually interesting. A lot of people, a lot more people than you would think, actually believe in a spiritual realm. Barna did some research a little while ago and found that 82% of American adults are at least somewhat certain there is a spiritual or supernatural dimension to the world. Now, as I've been preparing for this series, I've been reading several books. And one of the books that I was reading, I would recommend, it was a really great book. It's called Spiritual Warfare in the Storyline of Scripture. In it, the authors write, between the Bible's opening and closing chapters, it depicts a war being fought on cosmic scale, a war between God and the devil. This war is played out both in the spiritual realm and on the earth. It's not a fair fight, however, because the war is not between two equals. The outcome is never in doubt. Now, over these next 8 weeks, we are all gonna have questions. I've got a lot of questions. And I wanna answer as many of those as possible, but I also wanna give you an opportunity to shape the sermons. And so we are gonna be receiving questions throughout this whole series. You can email questions@purposechurch.com. Questions you have about the spiritual world or spiritual warfare or the spiritual realm. Questions you have about Bible verses. And on our very last Sunday together in this series, October 26th, we are gonna answer as many of these questions as possible. And maybe you're wondering, okay, how did you pick sin, the world, and Satan? And how are they my enemies? Well, John Mark Comer, another great book on spiritual warfare, Live No Lies, he sort of summarizes what the scriptures talk about. We are at war with the world, the flesh or sin, and the devil. And the three enemies' stratagem is as follows. This is the strategy of our enemy, our collective enemy. Deceptive ideas that come from the devil that play to disordered desires. This is the flesh or sin that are normalized in a sinful society in the world. Now, this is exactly what the Bible talks about and warns us about. And so as you're in Ephesians chapter 2, let's discover our very first enemy. Enemy number one, sin. Ephesians 2, verse 1. As for you, Paul writes, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. You are dead in your sins and in your transgressions. The Apostle Paul is essentially saying to this group of churches in Ephesus in modern day Turkey, written 2,000 years ago, he's saying it is possible to be physically breathing and spiritually dead at the same time. In fact, maybe that's some of the hesitation for you even believing in a spiritual realm is you're like, I feel like I'm doing okay. I'm breathing. Life is going as it's going. Paul says you need to wake up to the spiritual reality that you can be physically breathing and spiritually dead at the same time. I want to ask you, are you possibly spiritually dead this morning and you don't even know it? God gives life. He's the one who brought you into the world. He is the author of life. Sin takes life away. Sin tempts us to think that God is a liar and that our way is better. Sin will always promise you life. It'll always promise you happiness. It'll say, if you just do this like everybody else does it, even though the Bible is clear that you shouldn't, if you do it, you'll be happy, you'll be content. The truth is, sin is always a dead end. Now, I'm using this word sin, and maybe you're wondering, what does that word even mean? Here's two helpful ways to think about it. A sin or transgression is any thought I think, word I say, or action I do that goes against God's design, desires, and ways. Maybe a more memorable way to remember it is sin is spelled S-I-N. The very, very center of sin, at the very middle of sin is the letter I, whenever I think and do whatever I want to, because deep down I believe I am God. And this line of thinking and this way of living is incredibly destructive, and it is in line with our enemy's desires. See, sin is what first brought chaos and destruction into the world. And the Apostle Paul, he's warning this group of people, some of them who have never heard of Christ, some of them who are beginning to follow him for the first time, he warns them about some common sins that ultimately lead to their destruction. And it turns out we have a proclivity to the same things: greed, lying, stealing, bitterness, rage, and slander, sexual immorality, which is any kind of sexual experience outside of that between a husband and a wife, speaking or joking in vulgar ways, acting foolish, getting drunk, disobeying your parents. And all the parents are like, hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Now, parents, hang on. Provoking your children to anger. And all the junior hires said, thanks be to God. See, some of these, you might begin to think, well, if I do those, I'll feel good. They'll give me something that I want. It's sin, and it will lead to your destruction. You see, sin is not your friend. Sin pretends to be your friend, but sin's desire is to destroy you. Sin is your enemy because it destroys your relationship with God, your relationships with others, and your own life in the process. Now, the other two enemies are maybe not as easy to see, but they are just as real. The second enemy that the Apostle Paul outlines for us is the world. Look at what Paul says. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. Paul's hinting at this idea that every single one of us are influenced, like all the time. In fact, I imagine for most of you today, the shirt that you're wearing or the shoes that you're wearing, you first saw them on somebody else and thought to yourself, I think I would look good in those. That's what happened to me. I went to Target. I saw this shirt. I was like, it looks good on the mannequin. I bet it would look better on me. Turns out it didn't. The mannequin actually looks better. But that's what I see things and I go, oh, I think that would look better on me. We are all influenced by something. Paul says there's a way to the world, as if there's like this river that's moving against God's original design. What does Paul mean when he uses the phrase the world? Here's what he means. The world is a sin-driven influence over a culture that is moving backwards against God's ideal and original design, promoting sin, chaos, destruction, anti-biblical and ungodly ways of living. Now, every once in a while, you'll have streams within the culture that are moving towards God, where you'll see revival and you'll see regenerated hearts and you'll see a culture or a subculture moving in the direction of God's design. And that is beautiful. And that's evidence of the Spirit of God moving in our midst. But what Paul is talking about here is a way in which the world and the culture influences us away from Christ. Now, there will tend to be people within a given culture who have a greater measure of influence. And if you're a follower of Jesus, your job is to pray for those people because they are leading people astray. And so our job is to pray for them that God would get a hold of their hearts, that they would recognize their sin and how the enemy is using them to influence others. The world is your enemy because it values sin above God's good design and pulls a whole culture into darker and more destructive ways of living that soon become celebrated. Now, temptations to sin and this magnetic pull and influence from the world, those are all influenced by the next enemy, the one we're gonna spend a little bit more time on. Enemy number three, Satan. Paul continues, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now, I want to answer three big questions about Satan. Who is Satan? What does Satan do? And is Satan a lone ranger? So who is Satan? Well, Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 18 said this, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. We'll talk about this a little bit more in a moment, but Satan was very real to Jesus. And Jesus describes Satan as falling like lightning. The word Satan in the original language of the New Testament, which is Koine Greek, the word Satan means enemy. And devil, another name for Satan, is the one who slanders or the one who lies. The Bible describes Satan taking on the form of a serpent in Genesis 3. He's described as a dragon in Revelation 12. He's called the angel of the abyss in Revelation chapter 9. One Bible scholar, gathering all of the different names and descriptions for Satan, defined him this way, the morally, socially worthless, wicked, evil, vicious, degenerate one. That is not a compliment, okay? You don't want to hear that about yourself. Satan is an angel who God created, who at some point rebelled against God and now has limited power, not equal power with God by any measure, but has limited power to wreak havoc in our lives. And I know. I'm living in 2025 too. That sounds a little crazy. That sounds crazy, but consider this. Jesus of Nazareth, who lived 2,000 years ago, who claimed to be God, whose historical life is recorded for us in four different historical accounts in the Gospels, on multiple occasions talked directly to Satan or warned us about Satan's existence and his desire to destroy us. Now, that same Jesus who claimed to be God and talked about the reality of Satan's existence, also talked about how after he would die on the cross, 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. Both of those claims are pretty wild in 2025. To believe that there is a Satan and to believe that somebody could come back from the dead 3 days later. But 3 days later, Jesus actually rose from the dead. And why do I believe that? Because of evidence. Those disciples, those first followers of Jesus, his 12 closest friends, on Friday when Jesus was being crucified, none of them were willing to die with Jesus. But on Sunday, when they saw him come back to life, when they saw Jesus alive, resurrected, not only at that point were they willing to die for Jesus, but they would die for Jesus, many of them in horrific ways being tortured to death. Why? Because they actually saw him back from the dead, and it changed everything. And so if Jesus was right about his resurrection, maybe he's right about the existence of Satan and demons and what they're trying to do to us. Speaking of that, what does Satan do? Well, Paul hints at it at the end of verse 2. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Here are some of Satan's titles in the Bible. Accuser, adversary, angel of bottomless pit, enemy, evil spirit, father of lies, prince of demons, spirit that works in children of disobedience, the god of this world, unclean spirit, and wicked one. Now, God limits Satan's power. And one day, God will defeat Satan permanently. But for now, God redeems Satan's evil work by demonstrating his perfect power through believers who are dependent upon him. In Job chapter 1-2, we discover some of what Satan is capable of. Satan influences people groups to do evil, the Sabians and the Chaldeans. He uses nature to accomplish his destructive plans like lightning, fire, and wind. And he afflicts people with physical ailments to incite them to reject God, like painful sores all over their bodies. Now, we will spend a lot more time in the rest of this series exposing the schemes and strategies of Satan and his demons so we can more easily spot them, resist them, cling to Christ quicker, and have greater victories over Satan. And then our final question, number 3, is Satan a lone ranger? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, God did not spare angels when they sinned. So Peter here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is describing this event where Satan and other angels rebelled against God, sinned against God, wanted to be God instead of submit their lives to God. And so they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. The problem is they haven't stayed there. In fact, here's some of what demons can do, and here's why demons are dangerous. Demons can control an unbeliever. Now, they cannot control a Christian. Demons can physically afflict people. Demons can promote false doctrines and worship. Demons can perform false signs and wonders. Demons use fear as a weapon, and demons know scripture. Friends, Satan is your enemy, because he is engineering your destruction by distracting you, discouraging you, and deceiving you so you won't follow Christ. Let me give you a warning. As we're beginning this 8-week journey together, let me give you a warning and an encouragement. Here's a warning. Satan will use his limited power and the ways of the world that he's corrupted to get you to sin and turn your back on God because Satan's terrified of what God will do in and through you if you trust God and resist Satan. According to Ecclesiastes 3:11, God hardwired your heart to desire eternity with him, and that's the last thing Satan wants for you. I want to warn you, over these next 8 weeks, we are going to be exposing Satan's schemes and his tactics. And at the same time, we are gonna be declaring and illuminating the limitless power of God Almighty. And so we are doubly ticking him off, okay? He is not happy about what we're talking about and what we're doing, because just as our monologue demonstrated, he wants to lie beneath the surface that you and I might even deny his existence and yet find ourselves under his control and manipulation. And so for the next 8 weeks, we're gonna expose the lies of the enemy and his tactics, and we are gonna declare the power and love of God. As we've been leading up to this series, I've been talking about it a little bit, and some people have been coming up to me and asking me for book recommendations. And I've given them book recommendations, and without fail, they've come back to me a couple weeks later and said, man, Eric, as soon as I started reading these books, as soon as I started waking up to this spiritual war, this battle that's going on, all of a sudden I began to see the attacks around me, and I began to experience them even more. The Milbrants, Renee and Dave Milbrant, just an amazing couple here at our church. They were reading several books along with me and sharing with me their notes. And in the middle of that, Renee, she shared this brilliant quote with me that I thought was so powerful and such a sobering idea for why it is so important that we gather here every Sunday together to be saturated in God's truth. Why it's so important that we are in a life group with people who are interceding and praying for us and encouraging us. Why it's so important that we serve and that we read God's word and we pray and we seek after God. This is what Renee Milbrant said. If we treated our classes in high school or college the way we treat attending church and reading the Bible, we would never have graduated. And you've got an enemy who's like an evil teacher that isn't okay with you getting a C minus. He's not interested in you getting a D. He's not interested in you getting a 50% failure. He wants you at 0%. He wants you completely discouraged. He wants you completely torn down. He wants you completely destroyed or so obsessed with the world and your sin that there is no space for God in your life. But let me give you an encouragement. Here's your encouragement. Miguel de Cervantes, the 16th century Spanish author of Don Quixote, who was also a follower of Jesus, he wrote this in his novel. Forewarned, forearmed, to be prepared is half the victory. Everyone gathering here right now, everyone in the community terrace, everyone watching or listening online, consider yourself forewarned. You have an enemy. Now, are you interested in being forearmed? Are you interested in being prepared to fight back in God's strength? Do you want to experience some victory and healing and restoration? Because for the next 7 weeks, as I've invited you to lean into this conversation, here's what we're going to be talking about. We're gonna be talking about God and his angels, the 9 ways Satan fights against us, God's tactics, how we fight back, the fact that it's not a fair fight. We must be aware of Satan, but obsessed with Christ. We're gonna talk about how time is running out for Satan and his demons. We'll look at the power of the gospel and how it exalts Jesus Christ, and he is our eternal victory. And then we're gonna wrap it up with a Q&A, trying to answer as many questions as we can. And so lean in with us, pray, read your Bible, commit to your life group, be invested. Send us your questions with whatever questions you have. You can send those to questions@purposechurch.com. But I wanna end by offering some bad news and then some really, really good news. The Apostle Paul, after identifying that sin, the world, and Satan are out to get us. They are against us. They are waging a war against us. He writes in verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. The enemy hates you. The enemy wants nothing ultimately good for you. The enemy wants to lie to you and deceive you and bait you into following his ways. But there is a God, the creator of the universe, the God who created you and brought you into existence, who the Bible tells us over and over and over again, this God loves us. God loves you. And it doesn't matter how much sin has consumed your life or how the ways of the world have so deeply influenced you or how much you've allowed Satan to lie to you and deceive you and even control your life. The good news is this, because Jesus is God, he has all the power in the universe. And he demonstrated his power to defeat sin, the world, and Satan when he died on the cross. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And instead of abandoning us like sin, the world, and Satan do, he came for us. And all of your sin, all the ways of the world, all the lies of the enemy, absorbed by Jesus so that we could be free in Christ. So that we could have power in Christ. Here's the bad news. Satan and his demons, sin and the world, are working against you to pull you away from following Jesus, to harm you by deceiving you, and they are good at what they do. But here's the good news. Jesus is better at what he does than Satan is at what he does. Jesus is more powerful. Jesus can give you freedom, deliverance, and everything you need to face your enemies in his power and have victory over them in his strength. And here's what's so beautiful about it. Jesus is available to every single one of us if we will only choose to receive him. And some of you were brought here today, you were invited to be here today, you saw something online and you chose to come give church a try. Maybe you've been gone for a while, maybe this is all brand new. You have an enemy. We are at war, it's not a fair fight, but in Christ we can win. But you cannot have any power or victory or freedom or deliverance until you give your life to Christ. Until you put your life in his hands and say, I trust you. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that. In fact, there's just this prayer that we're going to throw up on the screen here. A prayer for beginning a relationship with Jesus. And if you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, if you've never started following him, if you haven't received his forgiveness, you will continue to be powerless against your enemy and he will continue to be victorious against you. But here's what's so amazing about Jesus. He didn't look out at you and I in the war of our souls, in the war for our eternal destinations. He didn't look out at us and run away. He ran to where the fighting is fiercest. He went to the front of the battle lines and he defeated everything that's getting in your way of following him. But he gives you a choice because he's not a manipulative liar. He's not trying to take control of your life without you giving it to him. And so I want to invite everyone to close their eyes right now. And with your eyes closed right now, there are some of you here today who have never given your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've even said that you have in the past, but you know he's not actually the Lord of your life. Or maybe this is all brand new, but you're realizing this is true. Jesus loves me. And he died for me and rose from the dead. And maybe you've even become aware recently that there's some kind of enemy working against you. It's sin, the world, and Satan. But Jesus has victory over them if you will trust him with your life. And so right now, with every eye closed, if you want to begin a relationship with Jesus for the first time, I want to invite you right now between you and God to raise your hand in the air right now. I see those hands out here. As you're raising your hand right now, you are declaring, Jesus, I want to follow you. I'm not powerful enough in my own strength, but you are, and you love me, so I choose you. And with your hand raised right now, I want to invite you to silently pray this prayer after me. Jesus, I confess that my sin is a problem I can't fix. I believe that you died on the cross to forgive me. I trust that you rose from the dead, proving you are God. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Today and every day, I choose to follow you. Well, you can put your hands down, and would you open your eyes right now? I didn't plan on doing this, but there were so many of you who raised your hand to receive Christ that we just got to celebrate what God's doing in this place. And so if you raised your hand, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you just prayed, I want to invite you on the count of three to stand up, because you've got a church family here that wants to celebrate you going from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive, to having no power over the enemy, to now having Christ at the center of your life, and you have everything you need to live a victorious life. And so if you chose to give your life to Christ for the first time, either by raising your hands or praying that prayer, would you stand with me on the count of three? One, two, three. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You guys can have a seat. You can have a seat. And maybe some of you that just made that decision are wondering, what's my next step? Your next step is to get baptized. And we're going to be doing baptisms here all morning. We have like over 20 people already signed up. That was from weeks ago. But there's going to be many more at the end of today. And what is baptism? Baptism is this outward symbol of the inward transformation God has done in your life. Baptism is a symbol of going under the water, declaring that Christ has died for your sins. And when you come out of the water, it's a declaration and a proclamation that you are a new person in Christ. And so if you haven't been baptized before, maybe you just gave your life to Christ, or you've never been baptized before, we have everything you need. We're doing spontaneous baptisms in our south parking lot, right by the food truck. Go place your order and then get baptized, all right? You can do that. It's not sinful. You can do that. We have trunks for you, or we have shorts. We have shirts. We have towels. We have people taking photos. We have everything that you need. But it's up to you. The choice is yours. And so join us and making today a day you will never, ever forget. And remember this before we go, remember this. We are at war. It's not a fair fight. In Christ, we can win. Come back. Come back for the next 7 weeks, as we go deeper and deeper and deeper and see what God has in store for us next. Would you stand with me? And as you're standing right now, if you gave your life to Christ, if you raised your hand, if you stood up or you just prayed that prayer, we've got a team up here that has a gift for you. We want to give you a gift to help you in your new relationship with Jesus. And if you need prayer, to my left and your right is our prayer room. If you have any questions about Purpose Church, you can go to the Connect Center out in the lobby or scan the QR code and fill out the Connect card. And make sure you join us out on the community terrace. We got pickleball out there. We got bounce houses. We got food trucks. We got baptisms happening. You don't want to miss any of that. So hang out, linger, enjoy community, and let's have an amazing day celebrating what God is doing. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for every person that you brought here today, Lord. I thank you for the people in the balcony, on the floor, for everyone joining us online right now. And God, I ask that you would help all of us to see that we are in a war, but that you are victorious over the enemies of our lives. And so may we all cling to you as we explore who you are over these next 7 weeks together. May you have the victory over every part of our lives and all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you.